We begin our week-long Project Milwaukee series, Great Lakes, Troubled Waters, on today's show. It's a series that asks the basic question, why is it a challenge to ensure clean water in a place that's adjacent to an enormous supply of it?
But we begin the series with two even more fundamental questions. Just what do we mean by clean water? And is it something we can really hope to achieve?
Lake Effect's Susan Benz went in search of answers to those questions. She spoke with Patrick McNamara, an assistant professor of civil construction and environmental engineering at Marquette University.
McNamara's lab focuses on understanding how chemicals from consumer products affect public health and the environment once they go down the drain and through treatment plants. He considered the basic questions we had.
Do we have clean water, or why is it not clean? To me, carries the presumption that it's not clean. And I think it really depends on your perspective and what you want to use it for. And we have a lot of different water locations, right? Kewaunee County is different from Milwaukee County, is different from Waukesha. But when I think about, do we have clean water here in the Milwaukee area in Wisconsin, I think about a context relative to time and to geography in the world. So if you go back to 1993, when we had a catastrophic outbreak in Milwaukee, people died, a lot of people got sick. Did we have clean water then? The answer was unequivocally no. We do not have clean water. And if you ask people then, do we have clean water, they couldn't turn on their tap without getting sick. I was not living in Milwaukee at the time, and you would be able to correct me on this, but I heard that the way they found out there was an issue is all the drugstores were running out of their stomach medicine and Pepto-Bismol, and that they traced it back then to the water. So this was a real citywide problem. So if you compare Milwaukee now to Milwaukee then, do we have clean water? Yeah, I live in Milwaukee County. I can turn on my tap. I have a 3-year-old, a 1.5-year-old. I give them water from the tap. We don't give bottled water. So they're not going to get cryptosporidium. In fact, because of that outbreak, Milwaukee now has one of the most advanced drinking water treatment plants in the country. So we say there's conventional drinking water treatment. There's normal steps. Well, Milwaukee goes beyond conventional. First, they pull from very deep into Lake Michigan. It's a big water source. They pull from deep in there. It's different than pulling from a shallow river or lake. And then they pre-treat all their water with ozone. That's an advanced treatment process. And then they put their water through the normal drinking water distribution system that other cities use. So we have ozone. We pull from Lake Michigan. So are we pulling and treating, providing clean water? Yes, especially compared to 1993. Do we have taps that we can drink from? Yes, and if we compare to other developing countries or regions, some locations where rivers are where they wash their clothes, where they have to use the bathroom, where they have to pull for drinking water, they don't have separate wastewater drinking water treatment systems. It feels like it's just a right, and we take it for granted that we have wastewater, but globally that's not true. So imagine if we did not have Jones Island wastewater treatment plant. Where would all that wastewater go that we flush? What would happen to it? We treat it, we concentrate it, and sometimes there's odors that you smell in the fifth ward. And that's as bad as it gets, is that sometimes there's some odors, as opposed to all the diseases of untreated wastewater that can go around. So we have this water resource, but over time our population is growing. And so we're using this water more and more. And just because water's been used once doesn't mean it's bad, right? So we can measure things in it. There's bacteria or cryptosporidium. We can look for that and know it's not there, regardless of what's been used in the past, right? We can treat it to use it. So think of astronauts, right? They're not bringing a lake with them out there. So they're doing the most intense direct potable reuse, right? They excrete water, they treat it, they drink it. So there's this thought of toilet to tap. I don't like it. It's dirty. We've already been doing it for a long time. So think of the Mississippi River. It starts up in Itasca, Minnesota. People pull it for drinking water. Wastewater treatment puts it back into that river. It flows down the river. Other cities pull it. They're treating water that's been used, right? But we have regulations and technologies to do this. It's what we do in Milwaukee. We reuse our own water. Jones Island discharges to Lake Michigan. It's treated, right? Goes into the lake. We pull from Lake Michigan. This is what every city does. They discharge and pull from similar sources of water. So we're going to reuse it. So it's not whether it's been used or not that makes it clean or dirty. It's what's in the water. If you use it and don't clean it, right? If a dog or an animal, you know, excretes into this water, it's dirty. So if you don't treat it, it's dirty.
Talk a little bit how your research fits into this water story.
Yeah, so we've been researching both wastewater and drinking water, and there's this research field in general uses the phrase one water. So in the past, we used to say, oh, there's wastewater, and that's separate from drinking water. But now we've realized everything is one water. So what we treat in wastewater goes into Lake Michigan, goes into the drinking water plants. We drink it, or we use it at our house. It goes down the drain, and it goes back. And so you'll see people are researching both. So we have some research on drinking water pipes and what's in our pipes and what bacteria are in our pipes and how do the different corrosion inhibitors affect bacteria that are in the pipes. And we have research on wastewater and looking at different bacteria that might be in the wastewater treatment plant. And we look at superbugs. So these are the bugs that fight back against all the antibiotics. So when you go to the doctor, you have a flu, they don't prescribe antibiotics because antibiotics don't work against a virus. And the more we use antibiotics, the less effective they become. And that's really a big public health concern, that antibiotics are becoming less effective because there's more of these quote-unquote superbugs or ones that fight back against antibiotics. And we study wastewater because that's kind of your hot spot for all the bacteria in the city. All the antibiotics get flushed down. So that's essentially the stomach of the city of Milwaukee. And so we're looking at superbugs and bacteria in these treatment plants.
If we're going to add a cushion of protection, is it through regulation? Is it through funding research? Is it both or something else?
There's a lot of good organizations like the Sea Grant organization that funds research that's all built on protecting Lake Michigan, the Great Lakes around here. There's research out of Sandra McClellan's lab that looks at E. coli and fecal indicators on the beaches that get into Lake Michigan. And so they are tracking, and if there's ever going to be a problem, they will know it faster than anyone. People come to them to find out problems. So as long as there's active monitoring and research on the beaches, the lake, the drinking water, the wastewater. So Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District is actually very progressive in that they have a research program and they track bacteria contaminants, they track chemical contaminants, and they track technologies to remove these chemicals. So we are fortunate to have universities in the city with research platforms, UWM and Marquette, that are monitoring the water here. And so it is a benefit to have a big urban city with a lot of infrastructure, research lab capabilities. So from a personal perspective, you can call your utility. You could even call Sandra McClellan's lab and ask her, and people are happy to talk. As a society, what do we need to do? We can't put our head in the sand and ignore it. We have to just monitor and be on the forefront for viruses, for bacteria, for antibiotic resistance, for chemicals, and develop technologies in the lab to understand when there might be problems. So it's our job to monitor this water. You know, we go to school for a long time to be able to run these experiments, and if we're not doing that, we're not doing our job. So fortunately, there are people like Sandra and Brooke Mayer that are out there studying and understanding our water.
Is there an area of research that you feel, or a contaminant that's raises the most concern for you, either as a researcher, as a parent, as a citizen?
I think viruses will become more studied. You know, I have my kids lost a lot of time at daycare from being sick this year, and it was often from viruses, and bacteria can't treat them. And we haven't studied viruses that much because they were harder to detect. And in science, the analogy is kind of like looking for your keys at night with streetlights. You only look where the light is shining, and if you lose them in the dark, you don't look at these other dark spots. And so we find what we can detect. But now technology is improving, methods are getting better, and people are starting to research viruses. And as that causes some people to get sick, I think we will study more about them, where they are, where they go, how to treat them, how to monitor them.
Patrick McNamara is an assistant professor of civil construction and environmental engineering at Marquette University. He spoke with WUWM's environmental reporter, Susan Bentz.